Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. Now, so far this month, we spent a lot of time talking about time-related messages. So, although today we're moving into a different series, which will be out of Psalms chapter 1, it still reminds me of our prior messages this month. You know, in Psalms 1, we see the effects of living godly lives and the effects of living an ungodly life. So as Pastor Reynolds goes through these passages, please remember the messages about our time in this life being short and the right way to make plans in our life.
This morning, I'd like to read Psalms 1, verses 1 through verse number 6. The Bible said here in this place, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." This psalm, Psalm number 1, speaks of the result of living a godly life and the result of living an ungodly life. It is very true that a saved person can live an ungodly life and reap the harvest of that ungodly life. It is also true that a lost person can live a good life and reap the harvest of that good life. The difference is in eternity. The saved person, whether he lives right or whether he doesn't, will go to heaven when they die. And the lost person, whether they live right or whether they don't, will go to hell. This passage is not talking about what happens after the saved or the lost die, but what happens as a result of the kind of life they live. Notice, verse 1, verse 4, and verse 5 speak about the life of all those that do not trust God and the result of that life. But also notice that verse 2 and 3 speaks about the life of those that are trusting God and the result of that life. Verse 6 informs us that God knows both the ways of the righteous and the ways of the wicked. Everybody lives their life in the sight of Almighty God. The three steps to destruction are found in verse number 1. The Bible says that they are walking in the counsel of the ungodly. They're standing in the way of sinners, and they're sitting in the seat of the scornful. Notice the progression here. The Bible says they're walking in the counsel of the ungodly, and then they are standing in the way of sinners, and then they are sitting in the seat of the scornful. I know that no saved person really wants to rebel against God or his ways. But look in your Bibles, Genesis 19:1, which tells about Lot. The Bible says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, arose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground." This scripture finds Lot sitting in the seat of the scornful. He is sitting in the gate of Sodom, showing that he is a ruler in this very wicked city. Well, is Lot saved? In the book of 2 Peter chapter number 2 in verse 7 and 8, the Bible says Lot was a righteous man. Listen to these verses. "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Lot had gone a long way down the road to rebellion when we read Genesis chapter number 19 and verse number 1. He had already walked in the counsel of the ungodly when he took his own advice and began to pitch his tent toward Sodom and Gomorrah, as stated in Genesis 13 and verse number 10 and verse 11. Lot had already stood in the way of sinners. He had lived after their lifestyle when he moved into Sodom and began to raise his family as they did, instead of raising them as God said. Notice what Lot's family thought when Lot told them of the coming destruction of Sodom and the cities of the plain. Genesis 19 verse 14 states, "And Lot went up and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law." Back in Genesis 19, verse 1, we find Lot sitting in the seat of the scornful. Comparing ourselves with Abraham and Lot is a good way to examine our own personal testimony. Note, the slow degeneration of Lot to the place of complete failure as a Christian. Lot left Ur of the Chaldees with Abraham. He no doubt heard the promise of God to Abraham in Genesis 12 and verse 1 through 5. But according to Genesis 13, Lot separated himself from Abraham, choosing the plain of Jordan for his very own. This occurs in the year 1918 B.C. and Genesis 19, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, occurs in the year 1898 B.C., a difference of about 20 years. What happened to Lot in those 20 years? But the lesson we are giving this morning is not just about Lot. It is about us. Think where you were spiritually 20 years ago. Are you closer or are you further away from God? Think where you will be in the next 20 years. Do you plan on trusting God more or do you plan on trusting God less in the 20 years that is coming? I know all of us plan on trusting God more, not less, because we know what the right answer is, right? I mean, everybody knows that we ought to trust God more and not less. Do you understand the decisions you are currently making determines exactly where you're going to be in 20 years? Are we walking in the counsel of the ungodly? Or do we daily read our Bibles and ask God to guide us? Had we rather do what we think is right? Or had we rather do what God says is right to do? Are we standing in the way of sinners? This means that we may be blocking the way to heaven for some people. It means we're living like the world lives. Can people see Christ in our daily lives like Matthew 5 verse 16 states? The Bible said here, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Note, this verse says it is good for others to see our good works, but it is extremely good when they glorify our Father which is in heaven and not us. Let me read this passage again. Matthew 5:16 states, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." It is extremely good when they glorify our Father, not when they glorify us. Can they tell that we are different? Or do they consider us to be like all the other church-going people? Are we sitting in the seat of the scornful? Are we guilty of judging the actions of others when we have greater problems than they do? Do we want others to straighten out their lives and listen to our advice when we can even straighten out our own lives? Matthew 7, verse 3 through 5 states, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam that is in our own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." These verses tell us to get the beam out of our own eye so we can see more clearly to remove the mote from our brother's eye. Are we like Lot, who was sitting in the gate of Sodom, clearly approving, not saying anything about all the wicked actions all around him? Do we know what evil is going on, yet we'll not say anything about it because we are afraid of losing the things we have? What are the three things the ungodly receive? The Bible says they're blown away like the chaff. The Bible says they shall not stand in the judgment. The Bible says they shall not stand in the congregation of the righteous. This scripture speaks of a solemn separation that will take place one of these days. In Matthew 13, verse 24 and verse 30, the parable of the tares tells us that right now the saved and the lost, that's the only two kinds of people in the world, are all together in the field that is the world. When this world is judged by God, He will not keep the chaff, the lost. These will be burned in the eternal fire of God. The lost cannot stand before God in the day of judgment, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. The lost have not bowed the knee during their lifetime and confessed that Jesus is Lord. His blood has not been applied to their sinfulness. Therefore, they will not bow the knee at the great white throne judgment and make that confession. But it will be too late for them to avoid hell and the lake of fire forever. They will be cast out to be totally destroyed forever. The wicked will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. Today, the saved are in the world where the lost are, and the lost are in the churches where the saved are. They are all mixed together like the wheat and the tares, but they will not always be together. There is coming a time when the angels will separate them, bringing the saved to God and casting the lost into the flames of an eternal hell. The day is coming very soon. Are you ready for that time? Have you ever been saved by the grace of Almighty God? I pray today that if you're lost, that you might trust Christ. One day, it will be too late.
Now, we pray that this has been a message that you needed this morning, and it's important to mention that we still have a lot to go on this topic, so we will be continuing in Psalms chapter 1 next week. Now, in the meantime, we'd encourage you to go to our website and check out the many different books, articles, audio messages that are available. Now, that website address is independencebaptist.org, and we've also made our full-length sermons available on sermonaudio.com/IBC. So, for example, Pastor Reynolds' messages from September and October are available. These include topics like the salvation of a nation or what gives stability. Now, these are available free of charge and can be listened to directly from your computer or downloaded to your mobile device. And as always, you have an open invitation to join us for services. We meet every Sunday starting at 10 a.m. We also meet every Wednesday for a Bible study at 7 p.m. Now, of course, we're located right across the railroad tracks in Forestdale, Missouri at 124 South Main Street. Well, I see that our time has once again slipped away from us, but we are so glad you were able to listen this morning, and we pray that you'll be able to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.